Hello.
My name is Rendira. Thank you for this opportunity to accompany you and share with you a different way of speaking about science. I entitled this talk about diabetes type 2. Dying of thirst near the source. It is to show that lifestyle is part of the wall. And diabetes type 2 will be my example. I'm using the content of your invitation as the column that supports this conference. To reflect critically about the causes of this type of diabetes. On 15 November 2016, the Mexican government made a sanitary alert declaring a medical emergency because of the epidemic of three illnesses: overweight, obesity, and diabetes. Newspapers said that it was a unique alert in the world. An epidemic describes the problems, health problems of a community when an illness affects a larger number of people than expected at one place at a time. The epidemic is a significant increase in the number of cases registered. And in this case, the problem, the health problem, is not an infection or a deficiency of nutrients. It is an alteration of the chemical, normal chemical reactions in cells in people's bodies who suffer the illnesses listed in the alert. The alteration of the metabolism associated to a lifestyle. The wall announces that the lifestyle is an individual decision, a product of an individual effort, and is only a responsibility of the individuals. Because of this, it considers that illness is a product of the decisions of the ill. To associate an illness to a lifestyle, it has as a consequence the stigmatization of those who suffer the illness. Health is no longer a right or a collective responsibility. In the next image, we see the red arrows showing that diabetes type 2 is the first cause of death in Mexico, according to the World Health Organization. It also says that diabetic people not only lose about 13 years of their life, but also that during their last years, they have a number of incapacities. This graph shows how diabetes type 2, as a cause of mortality in the country, increases progressively since the 1940s and increases radically, sometimes doubling the number of cases, at the end of the Green Revolution and the beginning of neoliberalism. According to the data from the National Institute of Statistics, Geography and Informatics, INEGI, at a work published in 2008 by doctors Pedregón and Fernández, diabetes type 2 made its debut in 1990 as the fourth cause of death of the population in general and children in particular in Mexico, and reaches the first place in the year 2000, where it has remained since then. People with diabetes feel tired, urinate frequently, are obese, but have lost weight suddenly, have lesions in their skin that are cured slowly, and get dark stains. Their blood pressure can be high. They can feel very hungry and very thirsty. Their feet and hands can swell. Their eyesight can become blurry and even suffer sexual problems. When they analyze their blood, the tests show high levels of glucose. These high levels of glucose can indicate a resistance to insulin. Insulin is a chemical compound that is responsible for maintaining the levels of glucose in the blood within normal levels. glucose values over 200 milligrams per deciliter can indicate resistance to insulin. People with diabetes type 2 can have high levels of glucose, well beyond the 126 milligrams per deciliter, even after 8 hours without eating or drinking anything other than water. In people who do not have diabetes, the levels of glucose in the blood diminish significantly with time if no food is consumed. Who has the risk of getting ill with diabetes too? Those who are overweight, even though we might seem thin. In other words, that we have an index of a body mass that is larger than 25 kilograms per square meter. Those who have very little physical activity or have a history of diabetes in the family. Those who are older than 45 years, or not only, because there is an increasing number of children developing this type of diabetes. Their causes. Why is there glucose in the blood if high levels are so dangerous? Our body is made up of cells that need energy to live. You can see that it doesn't matter what part of the body we're talking about, the cornea and the eyes, the testicles, the kidneys, muscles, the brain, the palm of one's hand, the stomach, or the lungs, all of them are made up of cells. Glucose is a source of energy for the organism. It comes from sugars that we consume and digest. All of our cells transform glucose into energy that they can use through a process called cellular breathing, respiration. Cellular respiration occurs within the cells at a special place called mitochondria. All cells in our body have mitochondria. You can see what the mitochondria look like in this photography taken with an electronic transmission microscope, which allows us to see inside the cells, increasing to us their size from half a micron to 7 microns long, and 1 micron is a unit of length that is equivalent by dividing 1 millimeter in 1,000 parts, so a micrometer is one of those parts. In cellular respiration, glucose and oxygen become carbon dioxide and water. When a molecule of glucose reacts with 6 molecules of oxygen, you obtain 6 molecules of carbon dioxide, 6 molecules of water, and 34 molecules of ATP. ATP is the energy source of cells, and they use it to undertake all the work they have to do. The energy stored at the joints of the atoms, the energy that is between the carbon and the hydrogen and the oxygen, oxygen and carbon, which form glucose, is liberated and is used to unite a molecule of phosphate to a molecule of ATP that has 2 phosphates attached. ATP functions as a rechargeable battery because when a 3rd phosphate is detached, it releases energy for the cell. The adenosyl triphosphate and the phosphate are not thrown away. They join again, forming ATP, and they do this in the mitochondria. But glucose does not have a free access to the cells. The cells have a skin, a membrane, a cell membrane that allows them to have an inside that is different from an outside. In this membrane, there are bridges that regulate the entrance and exit of materials. Not all materials enter the cell using these doors. Some of them need first to be enveloped in a special membrane that forms receptor sacs within the cell. Glucose is one of those materials. Glucose enters the cell in a process that begins with a signal given by the insulin hormone to the cell. Insulin arrives from the blood to special receptors in the membrane of each cell and allows these receptors, glucose receptors, which are in sacs within the cell, to arrive at the membrane, to couple with the cell membrane, and thus enter the glucose. Insulin is a hormone that is secreted by the pancreas. When there is an increase in the level of glucose in the blood, if after feeding the cells of the entire body, there is still glucose in the blood beyond a certain amount, the liver will turn it into glucogen. Glucogen is made up of the union of several glucose molecules. It is a storage for glucose. Insulin is responsible for this, of instructing the liver to form glucogen. The liver is where reserves of glucose are stored in the form of glucogen. So it's available if we spend several days without eating. If there is no more room for glucogen in the liver, insulin gives the instruction to create a new molecule, which is no longer a carbohydrate such as glucogen, but a lipid, a grease called triglycerides, which is homogenated, stored in special cells. These cells are found in locations where we have fat. The right amount of glucose in the blood before eating is between 70 and 140 milligrams per deciliter. And 2 hours after eating, it's less than 160 milligrams. If the glucose in the blood is lower than this amount, there's another hormone that will allow glucogen stored in the liver to be liberated in the form of glucose. And if necessary, it would allow triglycerides to be used in cell breathing to produce ATP. This hormone is called glucagon. With this dynamic equilibrium, thanks to the hormonal feedback, the level of blood remains constant. Diabetes type 2, the biological causes of the illness are a systematic and constant increase in the glucose in the blood. Pancreas secretes insulin endlessly because the levels of glucose never go down. So much insulin can make the receptors in the cells to become resistant to insulin and thus fail. They no longer respond to insulin, they don't open the doors. The pancreas feels an excessive production of insulin and stops producing it. Then the cells no longer receive glucose, even though there is a lot in the blood. It's like being hungry, surrounded by food, or by dying of thirst right next to the source, to the fountain. Organisms who do not control the amount of glucose in the blood have problems that aggravate throughout time. Glucose in the blood can stop the circulation of blood, which increases the probability of problems in the eye that can lead to blindness, or the brain, or heart attacks. And even though there is only a reduction of blood flow, the consequences are devastating. Places that support the weight body and are subjected to a lot of friction, such as feet, open up and they crack. And the wounds take a long time to cure and become chronic, and they're called ulcers. The reduction of blood flow to the feet suppresses the functions of the immune system, and the cells become infected and they do not heal. And you have to amputate and cut that limb to keep the infection from spreading throughout the country. There's another possible calamity, the illness and destruction of the kidneys. What is the relationship between diabetes type 2 and lifestyle? This excess of glucose comes from the consumption of large amounts of sugar. The food we eat, how much we eat, and how often is part of our lifestyle, including who we eat with, the place we eat with, how food was prepared, where they come from, where the ingredients come from, how were they produced, and how much they cost. Because of that, diabetes type 2 is classified as an illness that is associated to a lifestyle. How do you determine people's lifestyles? A lifestyle is measured precisely considering what people should eat. To this end, a list of foods is established that is named the recommended food intake. The graph you see was elaborated and published by the Center of Analysis, Interdisciplinary Analysis of the Faculty of Economy in the National University of Mexico. In its report to the research 126, it says, in this regard, we quote, relating to the recommended food intake, it has been considered for a daily use for a Mexican family of four people, two adults, a young child, or a girl, four people. For their content and structure and reflection, for daily consumption, were considered nutritional aspects of diet and cultural habits. It was defined by Dr. Abelardo Avila Curiel from the National Institute of Nutrition Salvador Subirán. It is made up of 40 foodstuffs, and their price does not include the expenses for preparation. The CAM did a monitoring of its price for over 15 years. We should remember that this food list does not include rent payments, transportation, light, energy, or any other expenses. End of quote. So when observing this graph, we see that in 1987, this list cost 3.95 pesos, and the minimum wage was 6.47 cents. So there was something left over with a minimum wage after feeding a four-person family for the rest of the things that you have to pay. However, on the other extreme, in 2017, the list of food costs three times the daily minimum wage. In other words, one minimum wage is not enough to feed a four-person family. And it's not enough. In fact, if you look at it, this has been so since the last century. In Mexico, there are states in the country with more diabetes than others. The image on the right is a comparison of the cases recorded of diabetes in two states with an urban lifestyle. I decided to choose Nuevo León and Mexico City. On the other side, I chose states with lifestyles that are rural, Chiapas and Oaxaca. In Mexico, there is a national trend that follows the curve of the states with more diabetes. If you look at the graph on the right, so the graph on the right shows the national trend in red, and this trend follows the model of Mexico City and Nuevo León. Well, let's see what happens with social causes. If there's not enough money for an adequate food, then what can you buy? Well, food that tastes good, that gives us energy, sugary drinks, and junk food, food that allow you to obtain more with less money. There is a change in the feeding habits. There is an increase in the consumption of high-calorie foodstuffs. Also, there is an increase in the offer of agro-industrial products and processed products sold near the places of work and study. This image, elaborated by El Barzón and published in 2016, has a number of sources. El Barzón, Zagarpa, Profeco. It shows the companies that control our food. These companies have a business that is worth more than 750,000 millions of pesos. And if we add to this the production and processing of food, it goes beyond a million pesos. In other words, 9% of the internal product of this country only from these companies. 119 million consumers participate, who in 2011 spent 240 billion pesos in junk food in a market controlled by 12 companies. Walmart has 62% of the total sales of production and commercialization in the country. Since the Green Revolution in the 1940s and the end of the agrarian reform, the extinction of the ejido, and the return to agro-industrial large land holdings, there is a reduction of the offer of traditional agricultural products. With this reduction, the only thing that increased is migration. People migrate not only to the United States, there is migration from the countryside to the city and from one city to another. There are cities, sleeping cities, where the people who live there spend more than 4 hours per day to go study or work, and there are neighborhoods who spend at least 1 hour to go anywhere. The search for jobs and the long time spent in at the job means that you cannot eat as you used to. There is no one to cook for. You don't learn and you don't practice cooking, and it's difficult to find someone who conserves traditional ways of cooking. When we get ill, we look for doctors to cure us, and when we do, they give us medicines. Patients and doctors look for a cure, a pill that will solve the problem. Can a pill solve what a lifestyle did? Doctors do what they can within the system that we live in. And we have a medical system that is directed to maintain the population ill and functioning through medications suggested by pharmaceutical companies. The cost of medicines increases, even though the demand and the offer and the supply increases. And here we see the most expensive medicines in 2017. Those of diabetes are in the third place. The tragic outcome. For the ill, the outcome is death. For society, a population that does not produce and consume the food that it needs, that devotes to the cost of medicine a large part of its salary, and as a consequence, an increase in precarious labor because they cannot stop earning at least enough for medicines for life at an age that is increasingly younger and sometimes even since childhood. Possibilities. Individual exit immediately is to consume less sugar. We all know that it sounds easy, but it's not. It also includes the education of health care servers that know the logics of the illness and can relate the process of the illness with its social causes, that value the knowledge of the patients and the biological and cultural patrimony they have, who know their patients as people who have social and cultural practices from which they can use to solve their health problems. We know institutions, medical institutions, who are independent of the pharmaceutical industry, and to create a local pharmaceutical company that produces medicines using natural and cultural resources which are local and which supports the agroecologic production. It's also the production and consumption of products through permaculture, the use of technology and science, not only their opposite. To consume foods whose production is local. To appreciate our cultural culinary traditions beyond looking for UNESCO's declarations to consider Mexican food as an immaterial patrimony of humanity, UNESCO cannot protect our food. It is the daily preparation of those foods, the production, everyday production of the ingredients and the implements used to elaborate them. It is the everyday consumption of this food, how we are going to be protecting it, conserving it, and recreating it. We fail when we accept the imposed way of feeding ourselves, of spending our money, when we consume as a result of ads and offers, and when we don't pay what is fair. We have to think of where we're going to buy things and what. Spend our energy, time, and resources to what we need as individuals, as families, as communities. To exercise a scientific practice that is critical and contributes to a scientific education of society and its professionals. I want to conclude this talk with two main ideas. In the first place, that there is a co-relationship between diabetes type 2 and the changes in agricultural practices which forced a change in the patterns of food consumption. Secondly, that although the lifestyle seems to be a succession of individual decisions, it is not necessarily so. Thank you.